This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. Here's your HeartWise host, Dr. James Markham. Dr. Markham is on assignment. I'm Charles Mills, health reporter for HeartWise Ministries. Allow me to read to you some words from an amazing book that just hit the market last year. Here's what the author says. The immune system is like an angel watching over our lives, protecting us from the risks around us. He then adds, super immunity can also enable you to push the envelope of human longevity because it puts a force field of protection around the body, radically reducing the risk of annoying minor infections, serious major infections, and even cancers, end quote. Wow. I don't know about you, but I wanted to read more after I read those words. Well, the author did not disappoint. Over the course of his latest book, Dr. Joel Fuhrman outlined a course of action that we can all take to build super immunity into our own bodies, no matter what we've done to them in the past. I'm proud to say that I've got the author of that book right here with us today, Dr. Joel Fuhrman. Welcome to HeartWise.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Now, first of all, let's get down to basics, Dr. Fuhrman. Very few of us have this super immunity working on our behalf. We're often sick, often tired, often overweight. Hardly the picture of health you paint in your book. How does our immune system work, and in what ways are we hindering its potential?
Well, here's the thing, Charles, is that I'm stating here and showing the evidence that the standard American diet, which is often referred to as SAD, standard American diet, or SAD, It's so deficient in the micronutrients needed to support normal immune function that it leaves the average person eating like other Americans eat with a malfunctioning or poorly functioning immune system. And that poorly functioning immune system, substandard function, lack of adequate function, leaves them exposed and ravaged to cancers later in life that wouldn't have to have happened if this person was eating properly through the major portion of their life.
So you are making a direct connection then between what we eat and our immune system.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's well established in the scientific literature that even the development of the lymphatic system that lines the digestive tract is dependent on the consumption of green vegetables throughout life. And without exposure to green vegetables, it doesn't develop normally, laying ourselves exposed to the possibility of developing diseases like Crohn's disease and colitis, which will increase our risk of colon cancer, all because we didn't eat sufficient green vegetables through our life, for example. This science is now well established in the basic science literature and not even controversial, the fact that our immune system is dependent on these substances contained in the natural world. And furthermore, they're finding out that the exposure to simple viruses, that the viruses that would normally be completely benign and not result in any serious complications or sequelae, now these viruses are because of the malfunctioning or suppressed immunity through the standard American diet, which is so micronutrient deficient, is allowing the viruses to replicate. And in replication, they change their RNA structure. They mutate, and they take forms which are more virulent, which can attack the heart and cause cardiomyopathy, or attack the nerves and cause Guillain-Barré syndrome, or attack the digestive tract and cause long-term damage, or denude the lung surface and cause pneumonitis and pneumonia, and being exposing to asthma and pneumonia. What I'm suggesting here is that the nutritional inadequacies in the American diet have a whole spectrum of dramatic and dangerous effects, from autoimmune disease to more dangerous infections and even to cancer, which are caused by the way Americans are eating today. And that, of course, leads us to the discussion of what is that Americans are eating, right, and what should they be eating that would enable us to really win the war on cancer, would enable women not to get breast cancer and enable men not to get prostate cancer and colon cancer. And, you know, and this is a, I see this as an unprecedented opportunity in human history, that nutritional science has advanced to the point today we can offer the people that want it a degree of protection that was not available to you know, in prior generations or prior years, because we didn't have as much really good science advanced to tell people exactly what they need to do to protect against these diseases.
Now, Dr. Furman, you are a medical doctor, and when someone comes to your office, they're going to hear the message that you give on this program today. They're going to hear this. But if they go to their other doctor, someone who maybe hasn't picked up your book, Super Immunity, and read it, someone who is more into the traditional message, they're not going to hear you need to eat more green leafy vegetables. They're going to hear you need this medicine and you need this surgery and you need it now. So what are we supposed to do out here?
Well, I think what you have to recognize is that the medical profession and medical care in this country has evolved in the last 100 years mm-hmm. to be primarily a dispenser of healthcare products in the form of drugs or surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we're seeing that that has failed to a large degree. That the amount of people dying of heart attacks and strokes in this country went from approximately 3% 100 years ago to now around 40% of people dying of heart attacks and strokes, that the advancements in medical care that do not and have not stopped people dying from this disease that's caused nutritionally, that the amount of overweight people, the amount of people who are have high blood pressure, have diabetes, develop heart disease, and have strokes, these people's condition are being addressed as if it's a medication deficiency. Mm-hmm. And then when that doesn't work, they're slated for angioplasty or bypass surgery. Mm-hmm. And that's already been disproven, that it doesn't extend life in people who are, you know, certainly for a medical emergency, a person's dying on the table,
yeah.
getting some blood to flow. If they can't get it through medications, putting a stent in or something may be beneficial to them. But except for an emergency situations, where over 90% of these procedures are being done, they've been essentially shown in the scientific literature not to extend lifespan, not to reduce the risk of future heart attacks. And essentially, you can consider that if it doesn't extend lifespan and doesn't prevent future heart attacks, and nutritional interventions does extend lifespan and does prevent future heart attacks and does allow the blood vessels to open up in a safer and more predictable way without having more inflammation and clot formation in the future, then the question is that, well, then why aren't these patients getting informed?
Yes.
You know, there's something called informed consent.
Yes.
That should be the basis of proper medical care. And if women are undergoing mammograms and breast biopsies and mastectomies and chemotherapies, if they're doing all these treatments, and if we're putting all these people, if we're giving men with doing PSAs and prostate cancer radiation and biopsies and prostatectomies, and we're putting people through all the cardiac interventions and angioplasties or bypass surgeries, and we're doing all these invasive procedures that have serious side effects and risks, it would seem reasonable that our population should at least be informed that they don't have to have these interventions,
yeah.
and they don't even have to develop these diseases if they were established a diet style that prevented prostate cancer, breast cancer, heart disease, strokes. In other words, we know that these diseases are the result of nutritional ignorance and nutritional stupidity, and we don't have to have them happen to us if we don't want to.
That's what really caught my eye. On page 46, you made this comment, and allow me to read it here for my listeners. You said, the premise of this book is that today's epidemic of cancer is not predominantly genetic. Rather, it's mostly the result of nutritionally handicapped immune systems. Cancer. I mean, we thought that we were victims of cancer because our parents had it, our grandparents had it, our environment is dumping upon us. You're saying that some of that may be true, but there's something else going on here, right?
Absolutely. I mean, first, I'm agreeing with what you're saying here, of course. But for example, in Thailand, Cambodia, Mozambique, they have deaths from breast cancer, 2 to 3 per 100,000 in the 50 to 70 year age range, where in this country, we're talking about, 120 to 150 deaths per 100,000 in the 50 to 70. We're talking about the fact, is it genetic?
Yeah.
How come these diseases didn't occur in such high amounts 100 years ago? Wasn't it genetic then? How come when people don't have them in these more rural and more primitive countries, they move to our country, they get them?
Yeah.
And so we're saying that it's obviously not predominantly genetic. As a matter of fact, the studies on it show that women who eat greens, onions, and mushrooms, for example, dramatically, that the genetic defects that allow the breast cancer to be expressed get suppressed. The genetic defects that allow colon cancer to be expressed get suppressed. In other words, the genome is read and controlled, dramatically by what we eat.
Yeah.
So obviously, there's a tremendous amount of information here that's so critical that every American should have. I mean, don't you think, you know, we get through elementary school and high school and colleges and professional school and even medical school.
Yes.
And the most important information we should have learned that would be able to control our health destiny, that would enable us to actually decide, you know, determine whether we get breast cancer or prostate cancer, or determine whether we have a heart attack or become diabetic. That basic information that we have the right to know, that would establish our ability to take control of our own health destiny and prevent these diseases, we don't learn anything about. Mm-hmm. Even doctors don't learn anything about, you know. So what I'm saying here is there's a complete lack in our educational process that I'm aiming to fill.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking this information is so critical, so absolutely important for every American to learn about.
We're discussing the book Super Immunity with Dr. Joel Fuhrman. We will come back in just a moment. I want to ask Dr. Fuhrman about colds and flu. This is an important topic, especially during the winter months of the year. Do we need that flu shot? Let's find out on our return. So everybody stay right where you are.
The water's great.
I will. I'm just making sure I get enough vitamin D.
Vitamin D? We're at a swimming pool, not a drugstore.
I know that. But do you see that big thing up there in the sky?
You mean the hawk?
No. The big bright thing there above the trees.
Nothing up there but the sun.
Exactly.
So what's the sun got to do with vitamin D?
Everything. When the sunshine hits my skin, my body takes those beautiful rays and turns them into vitamin D.
And that's a good thing?
Absolutely. Vitamin D helps my body fight disease and reduces the pain of sore muscles and stiff joints.
You sound like a TV advertisement.
Well, somebody needs to advertise a good thing about sunlight. Most people are afraid of it. They smear sunblock all over their bodies, stay indoors, and treat sunshine like it was poison.
Hey, I don't want to burn.
Scientists say we need to all enjoy up to 30 minutes of direct sunlight each and every day. That will safely provide us with all the vitamin D we need to give our skin a nice, healthy glow.
But what about in the winter when this pool's an ice skating rink?
Then you go to the drugstore and buy some vitamin D pills. But the best way to stay healthy is to sit in the summer sun.
Well, then count me in. I'm going to plop down right here beside you and work on my healthy glow. Are you happy now?
Well, not really.
Why?
You're blocking my sun.
Oh, sorry.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on Earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. Welcome back to the program. I'm Charles Mills here with Dr. Joel Fuhrman talking about his book, Super Immunity. And we're sort of going through chapter two because it really caught my eye. He is saying that a lot of what he is saying in this book and a lot of what the scientists are telling us is not being filtered down to the medical professionals, the medical profession in our area. And we're not seeing this stuff. So he's saying, let's get around that. We'll use that for its strengths, but let's get around that and just make some choices ourselves when it comes to what we put into our bodies, because that's the secret. Good nutrition brings about good health, including protection against cancer. Now, Dr. Fuhrman, let's talk about something else that bugs a lot of us, and that is the common cold and the flu that seems to circulate around us certain times of the year. Are you a flu shot kind of guy, or do you have some other words of wisdom for us today?
Well, you know, I like to say I'm a science kind of guy, and I'm very skeptical of drug trials and what's published in the medical literature, especially when the trials are reviewed, funded, and run by the companies who make the drug that they're a vaccine they're studying.
Okay, yes.
You know what I mean? So, yes. For example, the Cochrane Review, which is obviously done in Scandinavia, because they're more impartial, and they looked at all the trials on flu vaccines, and they found about half of them were funded by the vaccine companies. And in such cases, they found that the trials included only the ideal viral matching conditions, whereas every year the companies that make the flu vaccines, they guess as to what strains that are going to be circulating. Yeah. So in most cases, they guess wrong. Sometimes they guess right, but the trials are done in only those only when they studied populations where the trials where they guessed right.
Yeah.
And they didn't study the tracking of harm. They only studied the tracking of efficacy waste when they were viral. So when the Cochrane investigators, they reported that there were widespread manipulation of the conclusions. The studies didn't show what they did when they investigated and studied all the studies. They didn't show what they concluded they showed.
Mm-hmm.
That even when they were looking at the bias studies, that they were these vaccines were not very protective. So the point is that I think, like with most things in medicine, the media and what's reported to the media and what the media reports is skewed. And people don't look at the original research. Mm-hmm. They don't have an independent and comprehensive analysis of the original new research in a fair way. So the benefit of taking a drug or a vaccine is always exaggerated, and the risks are always kind of like swept under the rug and not considered.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the Cochrane reviewers found that in children under the age of 2, the effectiveness of the vaccine was the same as a placebo, yet there were significant risks associated with it. So they found that there was no clear benefit in the available studies, yet our government and our medical doctors are recommending it. In matter of fact, the Cochrane authors were critical of the CDC, the Center for Disease Control in the United States,
mm-hmm.
stating that how could we recommend wide-scale public immunization as a health policy for influenza when the outcomes haven't been adequately studied in the medical and scientific literature yet.
Right. I can see why there would be a dilemma in your mind, Dr. Furman, because you are a medical doctor. You want to help people get well, but you're also a scientist, and you're seeing the medical profession and the scientific proof is being stretched apart here is what you're saying. That's got
to
hurt.
I'm saying with regard to most medical interventions that the promotion by government, medical, and authorities sometimes show marginal benefits,
mm-hmm.
and the studies are fueled by the medical pharmaceutical government health complex, which reeks of collusion, conflict of interest, and the results and the benefits we're getting from so-called these interventions, when we study them in a very scientific and impartial manner, we realize that they're grossly exaggerated and sometimes completely concocted and false.
Wow. We're talking with Dr. Joel Furman. His book, Super Immunity, is available now at all the good places where you can buy books, Super Immunity. And that's what we want in our bodies, folks. We want to have that super immunity, not just immunity. We want to have super immunity. And Dr. Furman makes a wonderful case throughout this book that there is only one way of doing that. It doesn't come in a bottle. It doesn't come in a shot. It doesn't come in a pill. It comes at the grocery store. It comes where you aim your cart when you go shopping. It comes from that produce section and the whole foods that we like to put in our bodies. That's where the superhumidity comes from. Am I on the right track here, Dr. Furman?
Absolutely. If I can just give a brief example, like for example, there was a study that showed that women who ate mushrooms every day mm-hmm. had a 64% lower risk of breast cancer, right?
Yeah.
Now, we know that's from a well-done scientific trial that shows that mushrooms are very effective against preventing breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
There are other things that are likewise so very effective at breast cancer. But if the mushroom manufacturers reported that, they would be stopped by the FDA as they could not be able to say that. They would be fined dramatically, and they could be, because only a drug that's FDA approval can make a health claim, but not a food with scientific support. So the flaxseed and chia seeds manufacturers couldn't even show the scientific data and studies to the showing the effectiveness of their products because they'd be slapped down by the FDA.
Mercy.
If we live in such a state of collusion
yeah.
and misinformation that people can't get the information they need to make adequate choices in their lives to protect themselves.
My, my, my. But you know what, folks, in this book, you are going to find the actual words that need to be put on broccoli, need to be put on sprouts, need to be put on fruit and vegetables.
Right.
You're going to find them right here in this book, Super Immunity. All right, before we leave the cold and flu here, Dr. Furman, can you give us some hope of trying to prevent the cold and flu? You mentioned several on page 54, 55, three areas that we can do to try to reduce our risk of cold and flu without going and getting that flu shot. What are they?
Oh, absolutely. And we don't have to get sick. I mean, if we do get sick, having a strong immune system makes us get well very quickly.
Yes.
And not tied up for weeks at a time with then subsequent danger. So, of course, you know, the simple things most people hear do make sense. I mean, that is, of course, keep your hands clean. And when you're in a public place, don't put your hands near your face because the virus is predominantly not spread by the air. They're predominantly spread by hand-to-mouth behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So we touch somebody, we touch a doorknob, and we touch our face, we put our fingers in our mouth. So that's the main thing, is that keep your hands away from your face, and when you do have to touch your face, wash your hands before you put your hands near your face. Mm-hmm. When you're in public, we want people, if they do get sick, to eat little, to eat very healthfully, to stay well hydrated and stay at home. But here's the main point here, and the main point of this book, is to recognize that the right food supercharges our immune system and makes it easy for us to defend itself against viral exposures when we eat these foods like berries, like beans, like seeds, like green vegetables, like onions, like mushrooms. In other words, taking these superfoods that we're talking here and eating them and making them into delicious desserts. I mean, obviously, you make a chocolate bean bar or a delicious mushroom soup or oatmeal with flax seeds to flax seeds or chia seeds for the lignans. In other words, when we're taking in the right fuel for our immune system, our body becomes highly resistant to viruses, which then requires a much more dangerous virus, a much more virulent virus, or a bigger exposure to the particular virus to affect us. A smaller exposure, our immune system overcomes it. Our body becomes almost viral resistant.
Wow.
So we're not just talking about cancer. We're talking a body with super immunity makes itself resistant to viruses at the same time.
It doesn't sound like we're going to be able to keep any flu and cold viruses out of us, but once it gets in there, we can fight back, I hear you say.
Well, that's right. We cannot manifest disease to begin with, even with minor exposures.
Mm-hmm.
And even with a major exposure, the disease that we're going to receive will be much milder when we have better immune system function.
Oh.
So when right now the World Health Organization and other authorities from around the world are predicting potential dangerous epidemics in infectious diseases, as we have more antibiotic-resistant bacteria around, as we have more animals living in close proximity, you know, living in factory farming environments where you can spread, bird flu and swine flu viruses and create some incredibly new viral combinations that could be dangerous.
Yeah.
And, of course, as we have jet travel and people traveling from all over the world, the potential for more serious exposure to infections is greater than ever before, and we have to protect ourselves. And the way to protect ourselves, of course, is with super immunity and excellent nutrition.
All right. Very, very good. Dr. Joel Furman has been our guest today. His book, Super Immunity, The Essential Nutrition Guide for Boosting Your Body's Defenses to Live Longer, Stronger, and Disease-Free. Dr. Furman, thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.
And listener, if you would like more information about Dr. Furman and this incredible book, I invite you to visit www.drfurman.com. That's DrFurman, drfurman.com, or simply you can Google super immunity and his name will pop up all over the internet. You will enjoy what he has to say. This was a fantastic book, and I know that after reading it, I felt a whole lot better about what I was doing in my life, and so will you when we make those right choices. We are building our body's defenses to become that castle of health, and I love that. Okay, that will do it for now. Until next time, this is Charles Mills sitting in for Dr. James Markham, inviting you to remain heartwise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on Heartwise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.